Right now, I'm very happy to welcome a good friend of this program to our airwaves, Greg Gumma, a longtime activist, writer, and historian. He's the former editor of the Vermont Vanguard, Toward Freedom magazine, and the executive director of the Pacifica Radio Foundation. Greg is the author of novels and other books, including The People's Republic, Vermont, and the Sanders Revolution. Greg, it's great to have you on the program tonight.
Great to be back.
So, Greg, as a longtime friend, acquaintance, compatriot, ally of Bernie Sanders, I'm very fortunate to have you on the airwaves tonight to talk about, I think, what may prove to be an historic candidacy that Bernie Sanders, U.S. Senator from Vermont, just announced last week. He's running for the presidency, and so far it's Hillary Clinton and Bernie, and that will be competing in these primaries coming up next year. But when you think about Bernie's candidacy, of course, you're not just thinking about Senator Bernie Sanders and his appearances on MSNBC and some progressive radio talk shows. You're thinking about the Bernie Sanders you knew, 20, 25, 30 years ago, who was just starting as a politician and an activist. So, Greg, maybe before we get to the potential of Bernie's candidacy this evening, I wonder if you would just sketch out for us some of your experience working with Bernie in the early days and give us a sense of where Bernie came from.
Yes. Well, I mean, Bernie is from, people know famously he's from Brooklyn, but he came to Vermont in the late 60s, like a lot of us. And actually, I've known him for more than 40 years. Unlike most of us who were, dropping out or moving back to the land, Bernie was charging into politics really from the beginning. And although the idea that he would become a Democrat for any purpose was something that I think people would have found hard to believe, the idea that he might run for president is not that far-fetched, wasn't even that far-fetched in the 70s. He ran for statewide office in Vermont, beginning only 3 years after he arrived here, and then ran four times between 1972 and 1976 for the U.S. Senate and for governor, twice for each. So in some sense, we kind of knew that he was going to be a politician. It was what he, was here to do. And he honed his skills during those initial races where he didn't really get that many votes, but he did learn how to work the media and he learned how to debate. He learned about political strategy and then basically realized that if he was going to succeed, he had to make some changes. One was to focus locally, which he did by running for mayor of Burlington, and and develop a track record. And the other was basically to leave the third party that he was one of the prime candidates for, Liberty Union, and become an independent, still a critic of the two-party system and helping to start a kind of a third force, which became a political party, but as an independent. And then having success as mayor, he was able to move on to Congress. He's run for office, I think, 19 times, about 15 times statewide, which is close to a record for Vermont and probably most other places.
So as Bernie Sanders begins his campaign, he very impressively raised more than $1.5 million in the first 24 hours of his candidacy, outpacing other Republican Party candidates, certainly with larger benefactors. I read that Bernie had 100,000 volunteers sign up for his campaign in the first day.
Yes, he says he has 170,000 volunteers, although he's not really quite sure yet how he's going to mobilize them. And in some ways, I'm reminded of Howard Dean's campaign, which had a similar kind of run-up. Dean began running really several years before he actually ran, toyed with the idea and then ran 4 years later. Bernie kind of did the same thing. He's been sort of thinking about this in some ways for 15 or 20 years, but seriously for three or four. And so the launch is really part of a process. Of how organizationally that plays out is now becomes the question. And I think the next 6 months is going to be critical. It's kind of interesting that two candidates from Vermont have emerged as kind of the leaders or the spokespersons for the what Dean called the Democratic wing of the Democratic Party. In a way, Bernie's speaking for people who are, in a sense, perhaps not always part of the Democratic coalition, but certainly Democrats would like them to be. I think he's really trying to appeal across generations. I almost see him kind of like as the Tony Bennett of politics at this point. He's managing to appeal, despite his age, to a new generation of activists, and I think the contributions are also driven by the fact that a lot of young people are really inspired by his message.
Greg, what do you make of Bernie Sanders' decision to run as a Democrat against Hillary Clinton here, as opposed to launching an independent candidacy, given the fact that he's been an independent politician affiliated with no party since the beginning of his time in politics in Vermont? I think there was one interview I'd heard about that he had said that he purposefully did not want to launch an independent candidacy and avoid the criticism, justly or not, of being a spoiler.
Yeah, well, I think he's been trying to convince people on the left and progressives in general that it's all right for him to do this for a couple of years now. If you read articles in The Progressive and The Nation and interviews he's given, he's been trying to make various arguments for why this is the right move. I think if you look back at his career, though, it's a sort of an obvious move. First of all, he's had a good relationship with the Democratic Party in Vermont and nationally for a long time, really since he entered Congress. He's endorsed Democrats for president in the past. He supported Bill Clinton during his impeachment. He supported Barack Obama. He endorsed the Democratic candidate for mayor in Burlington 3 years ago. So, I mean, in that sense, if he's not a Democrat, he's certainly in alliance with the Democrats. I think there was a problem for him in the sense that there were some people who had the expectation that he would run either as a third party candidate, a Green Party candidate, an independent coalition candidate, some formulation like that. And I think he's been trying to dissuade people from that idea, primarily because he wants to be part of the mainstream of the debate for as long as possible. Bernie's goal has always been, as a politician, he's got a critique of capitalism, which you hear on television a lot, a critique of wealth inequality. But what also drives him is a critique of the media, which he doesn't discuss on television because he doesn't want to irritate the media. But his critique is also of media consolidation and of message control. And his goal is basically to change the trajectory of the debate, and he's watched others, you know, for decades try to do that. As far back as the early 70s, when he actually escorted Benjamin Spock around Vermont, when Bernie was actually running for governor, I think, in 1972, he went around the state with Spock, who was running as the People's Party candidate. And Bernie, you know, doesn't want to run, quote-unquote, an educational campaign. Whether he really thinks he can win, that's a different question. But he always runs to win. He always runs with the stated intention of winning and the assumption that if he demands it, he will get the equal attention. And so he's basically decided that now is the time, and the timing is in a way best for him now than at almost any point in his life, to make this move to the center of the spotlight. He is in his 70s. He doesn't have an opponent to face in Vermont until 2018, because he's a senator. And so what would a guy who's basically run every 2 years for the last 40 years do with those 4 years? I mean, I think it was almost inevitable that he would run, and that this provides him with the best opportunity in his career to get the message that he's honed over 45 years out to the largest group of people possible. He has an underlying belief in his message, in himself, in a sense, increasingly, as a person who is going to make history, and he seems to believe that this is the best chance he's got to do it. You know, whether that happens is another question, but as many people say, including him, I wouldn't underestimate him in debates and strategically. Organizationally is another question. That's a different part of the equation.
We're speaking with Greg Gumma here on Counterpoint tonight. Greg is a longtime Vermont-based activist, writer, and historian, former editor of the Vermont Guardian, Vermont Vanguard newspaper, Toward Freedom, and former executive director of the Pacifica Radio Foundation. Greg, now, I think you've said it yourself in that that Bernie has been really... he's had the same stump speech for decades now. Maybe you can flesh out for us what Bernie has been saying all these years as a Vermont politician, and what we're hearing now in terms of his main platform as a president, as a presidential candidate. There's really no change there, is there?
No, well, I mean, he's always been talking about the fact that very few people control most of the money and wealth. The statistics, he used to talk about 2 or 3%. I look back at some campaigns from the 70s, and, you know, he would say people of Vermont have to get off their knees and, you know, and have got to stand up to the 2 or 3% who control the money. So, you know, he was sort of on that issue from the start. Beyond that, you know, he had a critique of the two-party system. In that sense, his critique has shifted a bit because he's now entering the two-party system. But he felt that they were both controlled by moneyed interest, corporate media and consolidation, not only in media, but in oil, gas, banking, and so forth. And his critique also of democracy. He's now, in a sense, the last 6 months become more overt in saying that he believes this country is becoming an oligarchy. He didn't use those phrases back in the 70s, even though, you know, people understood him to be a socialist by reputation, but not because he ran as a socialist. But he didn't use those terms now. Now he uses the term oligarchy. And he's become, in a way, in this campaign, more ideological than he had been, certainly as mayor, and even in the early years of Congress. I think he's reverting more to his original message, which was a pure anti-capitalist, anti-monopoly capitalist message, and a message about the loss of democracy, that people don't understand what's going on, they're not being told the truth, and he is the person, in a sense, now who has been inside the system, who can unmask what he always understood to be true, but now has the experience to explain.
Greg, as a longtime observer, as Bernie Sanders, the politician, both in the House of Representatives and as a U.S. Senator, has he been an effective legislator? Has he been an effective legislator out there in terms of legislation, in terms of, you know, crafting deals that pushes the progressive agenda forward?
Well, you know, there's a lot of ways to talk about who's an effective legislator. There's also constituent service, which he has been good at. But he's been good at coalition. Well, first of all, he founded the Progressive Caucus, and helped to develop it, and it has developed a life of its own and an agenda of its own. And so I think that there's something that's an important development, which he had a leading role in. He also, in the early years when he was in Congress, he was effective at coalition building, often with people who were conservatives on specific legislation. Trade legislation. He helped organize against Fast Track and the Multilateral Agreement on Investments, other kind of trade deals. So his current opposition to the TPP follows in a tradition that goes back, and he's been effective in that way. And so, you know, I think for a person who's an independent, he's done quite well legislatively, better than I actually even would have expected. And certainly he's been good in hearings. He's, in the early days, he was sort of famous for confronting people like Alan Greenspan and has continued to do that. He has the ability to break things down into simple language and to ask the obvious question that sometimes people don't like to have asked. So I would say he's been a pretty effective legislator, and understands what the craft of not just legislating, but of basically messaging, which is a lot of what being in a legislative branch is about. It's called building coalitions and developing a message that's going to bring the greatest number together. And he's actually been very effective in doing that, and that's what makes him a threat. His problem is convincing people that he's a Democrat and convincing people that he's a credible opponent for Hillary Clinton. That's a big narrative shift that we have to watch for the next 6 months to a year.
Greg, what are the opportunities that you see in Bernie Sanders' candidacy in terms of pushing the Democratic Party in a more progressive direction towards the left? In addition to that, I mean, is Bernie Sanders able, you think, to galvanize a national progressive movement and activists together to push forward in some new directions, or to build a more cohesive progressive movement that would grow beyond the 2016 election cycle?
Well, those are several different questions, as you know. Being able to change the debate, you know, he's already sort of upping the ante by, you know, raising not only issues like the trade agreement, but, you know, free education for community college level first 2 years. He'll continue to come forward with proposals like that. And while he won't go on a personal attack against Hillary, he's never really run a personally negative campaign that I know of. He'll go after her on the issues. He'll keep raising these questions, the same kind of issues that Elizabeth Warren would have raised if she was running. some of them will be on, they'll be on primarily economic, but to some extent he'll also distinguish himself from her as much as he can on foreign policy, though I think that there are some pitfalls for him there, because his record is not as clear on foreign policy. But whether he can build a coalition over the next year, that's a question. He'll have some support within the labor movement. He's always been supported to some extent and has supported the labor movement, and he sees that as a core part of the alliance that he's been building. He's looking for younger voters. He's looking for environmental voters. Whether you can organize that into a coherent movement over the next 12 months or so is a good question. Others have tried. I'd only be speculating. And that's where the organizational thing comes in, that while he may be able to build a personal electoral organization that can get him from here to Iowa and New Hampshire and other primary states, I don't know whether he can build a kind of functioning coalition that will work beyond his candidacy. Certainly Howard Dean tried to do that, but I don't know that it really succeeded. I don't think the Democracy for America movement is really, you would call it more of a lobby than a movement. and whether Bernie will do that, he's never really been an organization builder. That's one of the things that people who support him may want to think about and certainly understand, that he's not been an advocate for third party development since he was a third party candidate in the 70s, and he hasn't really been a person who left a real organizational infrastructure behind. He has a personal and small circle of friends who are highly loyal, and now of course he has a big professional organization around that. But whether he would build, do movement building or submit to those kind of litmus tests, I would doubt it. And that's a question as to what happens afterwards. I think the implicit but unspoken promise that Bernie is in a way making, not to the public, but in a sense to the Democratic Party, is that by running as a Democrat and being allowed, in a sense, to be part of that process, he will support whatever candidate emerges in the end and not run as an independent. Certainly it hasn't been said overtly. But it would certainly upset the apple cart, and even his appearances on television would be changed if he suddenly became a Nader-esque figure in August or September of 2016. So that's, I would say, that's not going to happen. And without that, and without him actually building an organization that outlives and wanting to build an organization that lives his candidacy. It's hard to know what will become of it, except the fact that the debate will change, and if Hillary or somebody else is a candidate for president, they'll be running on a somewhat different platform, and hopefully it'll provide some sort of sanity counterpoint to what it looks like is going to be a completely crazy Republican race.
Mm-hmm. Greg, talking about platforms, one of the things that happens in a primary race is that if you have a candidate who's not likely to be the nominee, they can have some leverage at the party convention to put to convince, and with their delegates that they've won in state primaries, to convince the convention to adopt one or more important platform positions. Do you see Bernie as being successful in that project if he is not the eventual nominee but does rack up some delegates and wins?
I certainly see him trying to leverage whatever support he develops to influence the Democratic Party's platform. That's short term, certainly between now and the end of 2016. And Hillary Clinton herself, assuming that she remains the leading candidate, that he wants to change her positions and will be trying to do that through as long as possible. I think what differentiates him from the kind of other candidates who might run who are long shots or dark horses is that he can continue to do this almost indefinitely. Certainly, he's raising money, but he can run a campaign much more cheaply than almost any other candidate. He can get a lot more volunteers than any other candidates. We already know that. He can get more bang for the buck, and he can stay in for a longer period of time. There's no reason for him to withdraw, even if he's only getting 10 or 15% of the primary, delegates. I would predict that he would stay in as long as possible, even into the convention, to be introduced in nomination for president, and to, and to have his people engage in platform fights, to take the stage, and to have a spot on the convention, all of that.
Well, Greg, I wanted to get some of your reflections on your recent mayoral candidacy, where unfortunately you did not succeed in winning the mayoralty of Burlington, Vermont, Bernie Sanders' old office. But you were confronting a lot of important issues there that would seemingly be outside the realm of Burlington, Vermont politics. There was some issues regarding the stationing of F-35. Air Force jets right there near the Burlington Airport. Maybe you could talk about that and Bernie's positions there, and in just a couple of minutes we have remaining, maybe
just to say, I've known Bernie for a long time. We agree on many things, and I certainly think this is going to be an interesting race, but we don't agree on all things, and this and other issues, some environmental and peace issues. The F-35s will likely be bedded here, about 24 of them in the near future. Bernie has supported that decision, as well as other Democrats. The governor, the mayor of Burlington, also supported that. It has severe environmental effects. It'll help to depopulate a whole areas of Winooski and adjoining community and parts of South Burlington, make them uninhabitable. He's been, not only is he supporting it, but this is sort of a difficulty with a guy who's a successful politician, that he's really unwilling to discuss it, and that's the disappointing part, that he hasn't really been willing to engage in explaining or listening to the other side of the argument. My campaign was against a one-term incumbent Democrat. Since Bernie left, we had several progressive mayors, but the progressives are out of power now. I ran as an independent. I kind of feel that I ran a kind of Bernie Sanders campaign against gentrification and questioning basically the development agenda of the incumbent Democrat. There was a progressive in the race, and the progressive, like Bernie, was sort of felt the F-35 was a non-issue. issue, but there are a lot of people who think it is a sort of a leading edge issue. And Bernie's also supporting a Sandia lab up at UVM, and Lockheed is getting a role in developing the new energy grid for Vermont. And so it has to do with corporate partnerships. And unfortunately, sometimes our political leaders make decisions for us. They think in our best interest. In this case, Bernie thinks that it's in our best interest to have this partnership, but with Lockheed, that he's criticized in the past, but now he feels that they can help us, and on this we disagree. But I don't know that that's going to be an issue in the presidential campaign.
Right.
Certainly, Bernie's image is as an anti-war candidate, and I think in the main he has been, you know, a supporter of a new foreign policy.
Right. Yeah. I mean, what you're talking about is like endemic pork barrel politics, right? Supporting government contracts to bring jobs home to the
jobs,
to the hometown folks.
National, keep National Guard jobs, get jobs building the engine. Basically, support Patrick Leahy, he's a Democrat, also supports all sorts of defense contracts. You know, it seems that even the most progressive congressman never saw a defense contract they didn't like or didn't want. And Bernie, in that sense, is not so different from other politicians. And the thing to keep in mind is that he's very progressive, but he is a politician. At the heart, he is a politician. And this is, in a sense, the culmination for a politician of his career. Win or lose, he's going to try to make the most of it. But whether it'll leave a lasting impact beyond his personal impact as a personality, that remains to be seen. I still have a hope he'll be more than he has been and catalyze a movement, but that's the question that's before us.
Well, Greg, this has been great. I think we've gotten an insight into Bernie Sanders that a few other commentators could provide, so I appreciate you staying up with us tonight, and I'd love to check in with you down the line here as the campaign season heats up to get some of your observations of the Bernie Sanders national campaign, which I think is going to be interesting to watch. I'm excited about it for its potential. And it's great to have you on here and to talk about this tonight. Thanks, Greg.
Thank you.
Oh, Greg, before you leave, do leave your blog address, your web address, so that we can refer our listeners who want to keep up on. So you think you're going to be doing a series?
Well, I mean, just Google Maverick Media, or I have Greg Gumma at blogspot.com is another one. That's where a whole series on Bernie Sanders is actually running right now. That's just my name, Greg Gumma, blogspot.blogspot.com.
Yeah.
You know, you'll find me through that.
Okay. And thanks so much, Greg. We'll talk again soon.
Thank you.
Take care. Bye-bye. That's Greg Gumma, longtime Vermont-based activist, historian, writer, and former editor of the Vermont Vanguard, Toward Freedom magazine.